What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 4 of the Gridiron Podcast. This is our first episode of the official 2024 NFL season. My name is Nick.
And my name is Michael.
And we're going to be talking about week 1 games and then previewing week 2. So, Mike, let's talk about the first game that happened. That was the Chiefs beating the Ravens 27-20.
Yeah. So last week, I predicted that it would be a defensive heavy game. The turnovers would win the game. And that's pretty much what happened, in my opinion, except a couple of failed conversions by the Ravens, especially Lamar Jackson, not able to get that touchdown to Zay Flowers. But he said that he was trying to aim for, I believe, Rashad Bateman. But yeah. I mean, either way, Zay Flowers was open. You had a touchdown there. Long story short, the Chiefs get another win. I mean, it was a well-played game from both teams. I mean, it's just what I expected, a good Thursday night kickoff to the NFL season.
Yeah, and I think one thing that people are going to mention is obviously some of the blown calls that happened in that game. There was a couple of false starts by the notorious false starter. That being the offensive lineman for Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, that illegal formation with the offensive tackle for the Ravens being quote-unquote lined off the line of scrimmage. And the Chiefs were lined up the same exact way and no calls. So I think people are going to be talking about, obviously, those calls. Man,
Xavier Worthy
is fast.
Yeah, no, he is incredibly fast. I mean, when that dude first got the ball, he just zipped to the end zone. I mean, it was like no one could touch him. I mean, it was impressive. I mean, that rookie, I think, is gonna have a year. I mean, after seeing that against the Ravens defense, I mean. Yeah, this kid's going to have a year. I'm sad to say that the Chiefs got another good receiver, but he's exciting to watch, though, I will say.
Yeah, and the next game, I know this kind of hurt you a little bit, but the first game in Brazil, that being the Eagles versus the Packers, the Eagles winning 34-29. I think them playing on a soccer field, it didn't help the traction of the cleats and everything like that. Obviously you had, Jordan Love, really bad injury. Did not look good. And yeah, I mean, Saquon had a day. So
yeah, I was going to say, you know, I can talk about this game all freaking week, let alone all day. But the key takeaways that I had from this game was, yeah, Jordan Love. I mean, he looked a little off. I mean, even the receivers, too, they are dropping balls left and right that I think were definitely catchable. But, you know, week one, I guess you can say they're going to, you know, get into a rhythm. They're going to find it. But, you know, it's like even though the Packers played really sloppy, I got to say Jeff Hafley on defense. I mean, they did a really good job at containing Jalen Hurts. But as you said, Saquon Barkley just had an answer right back and they could not stop this dude. So, I mean, going forward, we'll have to see how they play like a mobile quarterback again. I mean, because if it's not the quarterback, it's going to be the running back. And, you know, even though the Packers did play really sloppy, I will say they competed all the way through. So, you know, they had a chance in this game. And even early on with the two turnovers, they could have easily been up to 14-0. But, you know, it's just sloppy game. It is what it is. The Love injury, I'm glad it's not too serious as from what I'm reading. So, all in all, I'm not, like, mad about this loss. It is what it is, but it was just a sloppy game, both sides, I will say.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, obviously, how everything is going to mesh for the Packers going forward without Jordan Love for a couple weeks. I think they said 4 to 6 weeks, but right now it's looking like it might be a little bit less. Based off like the video that I saw of him coming off the plane, just what I'm reading up from people that are updating from the Packers organization itself. So it's not looking too bad of an injury, but on TV, that looked horrible. It looked like his knee kind of buckled, but me as a Lions fan, I don't like the Packers, but obviously we don't wish injury on anybody. I mean, he has to come out strong when he returns. And I mean, Jair Alexander, he looked pretty good that game. I mean, I had kind of lower standards for him kind of going into this game, but obviously the interception that he had and a couple of key plays, but I mean,
he got cooked low key.
He had a couple of good plays.
Yeah, but you know, not going to go too far in depth anymore about that game. I think we kind of covered everything there. The next game that I want to talk about, Nick, which I will never understand, is the Steelers and Falcons. I mean, I thought I got Drake London on my fantasy team. I thought this was the answer that that the Falcons needed, signing Kirk Cousins, a quarterback. You know, I thought, hey, Drake London's going to get some targets here. He was 2 receptions for 28 yards in that game, and they lost 18-10. Help me out there.
I think it's just – it could very well be Kirk Cousins just trying to get used to the scheme of the Falcons. I mean, both defenses – it was a defensive battle, to be fair. Obviously a low-scoring game, 28 points combined between the two teams. And I think the Steelers have gone from having that quarterback issue between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson with now starting Russell Wilson. I think they're putting that behind them, and I think they're more focused on winning football games now instead of just trying to figure out, okay, who's going to be starting for us? Who are we going to play during this part of the game, I guess, is a good way to put it. But I think this is kind of a wake-up call, I guess, for the Falcons, because you have a guy like Drake London, as you said, and he did not put up numbers. You need to get that guy the ball a lot more to be able to win these games against teams like Pittsburgh and going forward into their schedule.
Yes, and I just want to point out one last thing about this game. A game like this, though, for the Falcons was a must-win because your season, or your schedule rather, does not get easier from here. So I think they had to come out and win this game, but now they're going to be playing when you're climbing back basically into the race. I mean, it's just – it's not a good situation to be in. Playing catch-up, that's it, yeah. Thank you. It's just not a good situation, not a good loss here, especially 10 points at home or your first week. I mean, that's just not it. Not good.
Yeah, and then I think a good game to kind of piggyback off of that is the Bears versus the Titans. I mean, Caleb Williams' first game, he did not play good to any standards. The defense really kind of carried the Bears. And I think going into this, when we were kind of talking about the landscape of the NFC North, we kind of had the Bears defense kind of like middle of the pack in terms of the NFC North, maybe kind of up more towards the top. And I think they kind of backed that up. And Caleb Williams coming in as the first overall pick, I think I saw a statistic where a rookie quarterback in their first game, they've only won like 4 times in total since the NFL started.
Did Caleb Williams really win that game though? I mean,
no.
Here's my thing. Coming into this year, I think we all knew the Bears defense was going to be very good. Mm-hmm. Just a matter of this good though, to get 14 points off of a special teams and then a pick 6, which was literally handed to them. I mean, Will Levis just said, "Here, Tyler Stevenson, take that to the house. I don't want to win this game. You guys can have it."
I saw a picture
NFL quarterback.
I saw a picture. It was the funniest picture I've ever seen.
It's, you have real it Levis on his hands like and this. Knees. Yeah, yeah. That was hilarious. Yeah, I know. I saw that too. Yeah, I mean, can you really say that the Bears won this game? I mean, yeah, they won score-wise, but like literally handed to them. And yeah, the one thing that coming into this year that we were all questioning was this offense. Well, 92 yards for Caleb Williams, number one, Mr. Overall pick. I mean,
yeah, and that's crazy because I think when we were kind of talking about the NFC North, we said the Bears have one of the best wide receiver rooms probably in the NFC.
Yeah, easily.
And they came out super flat against a Titans team that I think personally is going to do worse than they did last year, obviously, because they lost a key aspect in Derrick Henry. But they came out super flat, that Bears offense.
Yeah.
But kind of going off of the snooze fest, let's go into a game that kind of had a little bit of controversy, that being the Jaguars versus the Dolphins. Obviously, probably all of us have seen before kickoff, Tyreek Hill was detained. I don't believe he was actually placed under arrest, based on what I was reading, for a traffic violation. Put in handcuffs and everything like that. And then he came out and, I mean, 80-yard touchdown?
Yeah, it was like 110 yards, I think, total. Something like that.
He came out. He played amazing. I think the Dolphins, with this being a three-point game, though, against the Jaguars, is kind of concerning for me.
Yeah.
I think it should have been a lot more lopsided, especially with the way that Tyreek Hill was playing. I think going forward with this Jags team specifically, I think they need to establish the run a lot more than they did this game. They were trying to force things too much, and I feel like they need to kind of take a step back and kind of slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, the one guy who was really quiet for me in this game was Travis Etienne. I mean, another guy in my fantasy, but, you know, I'm not saying that just because I'm a fantasy. Genuinely, I think he had like 11 attempts for like 48 yards or something like that. Just very quiet, not like him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, last year he blew up. But, yeah, I mean, this game, I will say the Jags defense, you know, well, even though Tua passed for like 330 yards, they definitely kept him out of the end zone, and that's what matters in games like this, but just wasn't enough at the end of the day for Trevor Lawrence and the offense there. I mean, I guess the Dolphins snuck one through, but I mean, 3-point game, Dolphins, I think, as you said, I think they should have won big, but, they didn't. So this game was kind of surprising to me, at least.
Now, a game that me and you were talking about, back and forth kind of was a game kind of going back in the schedule a little bit, the Patriots versus the Bengals.
Yeah, now, what?
Where do we begin?
Yeah. Like,
so obviously the Bengals still having that contract issue with Ja'Marr Chase. He plays in this game, right? No one really expects him to play in this game because of the contract, but he ends up playing. Doesn't put up numbers. I think he had like 6 catches for 47 yards or something like that. But the Bengals just looked abysmal.
Yeah, very sloppy. 2 fumbles, lost them both. Patriots win 16-10, or was it 7? I didn't even see the score.
It was 16-10.
That's right. So 16-10, I mean, I don't even know really what to say about each team here. I mean, I guess the Patriots win, surprisingly. Definitely caught me off guard. Very sloppy, just Bengals team, which I don't know what that means going forward again. If, you know, last year they had the Joe Burrow issues. What if this year, does this mean they're going to have other issues internally? So I guess we'll see going forward there. I mean, there's not much for me to talk about with the Patriots, to be honest. I just think it was a very, like, skippy – I mean, it's just – I don't know if the word is to – I'm looking for, but it's just a garbage win, in my opinion. just a kind of crappy game.
Yeah, and then another game that I want to talk about is the Cowboys versus the Browns. Me, I'm going to kind of pull a mic here. I have the Browns defense on my fantasy team. I also have Ezekiel Elliott on my bench, which I kind of – actually, no. I also have David Montgomery and Kenneth Walker. And they put up pretty good numbers. So Browns defense coming in as probably a top three defense. Obviously, Myles Garrett. But
secondary is nice.
You have Dak Prescott, which – I don't retract my tweet if you guys saw it. I do not retract it. I said Dak Prescott does not deserve the contract that he got. I said he can't win on the road. He's not a Super Bowl contending quarterback. Can't win in the playoffs. And then he came out and did this against a top three defense. I think the Browns offense just looked
absent,
lost. They looked lost. I think the Cowboys really established the run with Ezekiel Elliott, tried keeping the ball the opposite direction as Myles Garrett. And then you had CeeDee Lamb putting up numbers as well. Where does that put the Cowboys, in your opinion, in the NFC East?
Yeah. I mean, this game absolutely kind of like flipped my head because I thought the Cowboys would take a dip. I just didn't know how far of a dip, but this game just completely turned my head around. And, you know, now I'm like, hey, they're not by any means out of the playoffs. I mean, they're still a good football team. Now that they re-signed CD, they re-signed Dak. I mean, they're here to play. And their defense looked pretty good. They're still a football team. So by any means, Eric Hendricks is flying around the freaking field. I mean, that dude can still play. But, yeah, they're still a football team. So, I mean, I didn't have them out of the playoffs necessarily, but I didn't have them, like, being – well, they're still going to be number two in their division, East, easily.
I think they're, like, a 6 or 7 seed, realistically. Yeah. I think this kind of may put them at the 5 spot. If they continue playing like this, but I think they make the playoffs. I was coming in saying, oh, with all the contract issues, I said this on the last episode.
Yeah.
It was looking like they were going to miss the playoffs.
Wasn't good. Yeah. I mean, just to top it off, you know, as you said, this is a big win for them. I mean, they didn't just come in and win like a 27-24 game. They came in, went up 27-3. I think it was so fast. I mean, it was dominance. You know, a punt return touchdown, just they were all over the Browns. They had them in this game. So
now the last game I want to talk about is the first game that went into overtime during the 2024 season. Give it up for them. Is the Lions versus the Rams. Obviously the storyline, we all know the storyline, Jared Goff versus his former team, Matthew Stafford versus his former team. Now, as a Lions fan, I want to point this out. Jared Goff is now 2-1 against the Rams. So you had what I didn't want to happen because I have him on my fantasy team. Amon-Ra St. Brown. He had 4 catches for like 47 yards or something like that. He was very slow. I think the Rams going in were like, okay, these are the people that we really have to kind of defend. And that just gave room for Jameson Williams to put up 5 catches for 121 yards. His first game in the NFL over 100 yards.
Yeah. No, I really think that Jameson Williams needed this. Like, he needed a game like this to really prove himself, because we were all on the verge with like the suspension of, you know, him getting injured. Like, is he just a bust? And him having a game like this was huge for the Lions. I mean, just able to see his pop-off potential if it's not St. Brown or Laporta. So him being there and having that game that he did was, I think, really huge for them.
Yeah, and then obviously another guy that's on my fantasy team is David Montgomery. He might be the most underrated running back, in my opinion. And I'm not just saying that as a person that has him on my fantasy team and also a Lions fan. I truly mean it. I think he was truly underrated when he was on Chicago. And I think with this Lions team, obviously you have Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs is kind of like the guy that they say he's the running back, right? He's the guy that should get more carries. But then you have David Montgomery, who can just run behind his pads, run over people. And what's really crazy is he weighs the same as last year, but he can squat 150 more pounds than last year. He can squat 780 pounds.
That's not real. He's a short dude too, isn't he?
He's 5'10"?
Yeah. 5'9"? I mean, still taller than me, but you know. Short guy. But yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, that guy is a beast. He won the game for the Lions in overtime.
Now, I was going to quickly ask you, you know, I personally didn't watch this one. I was keeping up with it though. Why do you think the Lions couldn't win by double digits? What was stopping them from doing that? Because I really thought Lions would come in, take care of business. It'd be a double digit game. No problem. That was not the case.
Yeah. So I think part of it was we had a lot of missed tackles. We had a lot of times where our guys were trying to tackle around the shoulder pads instead of going for the legs. You had a player like Cooper Kupp who was able to break several tackles. You had Aiden Hutchinson was held on every single play and it was only called twice. They literally were choking him and pulling him to the ground nearly every single play. Stafford came out and looked like he never did when he was in Detroit, pulling out no-look passes, throwing out jump passes when he had all four defensive linemen in his face. And then I think it comes down to not converting on third downs. The Lions did not have a good conversion rate on third downs. And we didn't see the Dan Campbell that said, okay, fourth and one from our own 40, we're going to go for it. A lot of times he was punting. So I think it comes down to all of that. And then you had, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown was kind of slow. Laporta didn't really put up big numbers either. So I think with them kind of being in the shadows, I think kind of hindered the Lions from winning by double digits. I think if you had all those factors, if you didn't have all those missed tackles, which one of them turned in from a 5-yard catch into a 62-yard catch, where Carlton Davis missed the tackle and then Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph literally ran into each other. I think if you clean that stuff up, if you're the Lions, I think you at least win by like 20. But yeah, I think it comes down to a lot of factors, in my opinion.
Of course. Well, I think we did a pretty good job talking about these games. I mean, there was a lot of headlines in week one, but it's already that time that we're shifting into week two. I mean, predictions and spreads are out, so we need to talk about them. And starting with this Thursday, an interesting game, we got the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins. Now, we didn't really talk about the Bills at all in the first week. They played the Cardinals. It was a very skimpy win. I mean, it was in a very interesting game because
Cardinals Josh Allen 17. Did have to run the ball a lot. I will say that.
Cardinals went up fast, and the Bills had to come back and play catch up, and they won. Josh Allen just took over the game himself. But Bills, Dolphins. I mean, we saw the Dolphins week one. We talked about how the Dolphins weren't able to convert in the end zone. They didn't I don't know. They just didn't score the ball. So, I mean, even though Tua passed for 330 yards, is that going to happen again against the Bills?
I think no. I think it's probably going to be a close game, in my opinion. I think realistically, we're talking another basically Ravens versus Chiefs game, basically being a defensive battle. Josh Allen coming off of that left hand injury that he suffered in week one. Does that hinder him as a right-handed quarterback? I don't think so, but it could play somewhat of an effect on him. But I think going into it, I think now with Tyreek Hill probably not going to get detained 3 hours before kickoff, I think it favors more the Dolphins because they have those wide receivers, obviously Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and then they have Achan and Mostert as running backs. I think it favors more the Dolphins. I think it could realistically be a touchdown difference. I think we see another Ravens versus Chiefs score of 27-20.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You know, this next game, this is very dependent on an injury, but the Colts and Packers, I mean, for me, this one's a toss-up just because I don't think Love's going to play, unfortunately. But we got Malik Willis, baby. Yeah, I don't know what he's going to do or what he's capable of doing. This, if Love was playing, this should be a win. But you know what, though? The Colts did compete with the Texans in week one. So that was another good game. But Anthony Richardson could be a problem for the Packers. If Malik Willis is playing, I got the Colts. But if Love is playing, which I doubt, the Pack should win.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think it's Colts. I think no matter what, whether Love plays or not, I think we didn't touch on this, but me and you kind of discussed between ourselves, the wide receivers for the Packers were just horrible against the Eagles.
Besides Jaden Reed.
To be fair, a lot of those were short passes for a lot of rack yards. So,
what do you mean? He had a 70-yard bomb.
I mean,
still. He's fast, man. Jaden Reed had a great game. But yeah, no, other than that.
I love Jaden Reed. I love Jaden Reed. But I don't think it was up to, I guess, being a good game in terms of the running backs or, sorry, wide receivers. I think it's Colts no matter what. I think even if Jordan Love plays, I think he's still going to kind of be a little tender on the leg. But, I mean, you had the Colts, they, like you said, competed against the Texans, who we were like, they're clear AFC South favorites. So,
yeah, well, that's interesting. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers, the field goal prodigies, versus the Denver Broncos. I mean, a team that got two safeties last week. So this is an interesting one. I don't know what to expect.
I think we're kind of torn on this one. Two kind of, I would say, not poverty franchises, but definitely not contending for a conference championship really anytime soon. Do we see a different Bo Nix in this game, though?
I don't think so. I think he still needs some time to work things out. I didn't think he played a bad game against Seattle, but it wasn't a good game by any means. I mean, obviously as a rookie, it's hard to come into the league and just be CJ Stroud, but he didn't look bad. But I don't know. Maybe Russell Wilson comes into Denver and he's also wanting like a revenge game, but
yeah,
I don't know. This game is very interesting. It's a toss up in the air for me. I think I got the Steelers though over the Broncos still, but I'm not expecting much from this one.
I'm thinking 7-3.
7-3.
I think it's going to be
maybe we should go 8-7 for that matter.
how about 9-7? I think
yeah,
9-7.
Something weird like that. Yeah.
But going into the next game that I kind of think is going to be kind of a bigger game is the Lions versus the Buccaneers. You have the rematch of the NFC divisional game in Detroit once again. The Lions set another decibel record with 137 decibels against the Rams last week. Do we see a team, because Chris Godwin looked really good for Tampa last year or last week, Baker Mayfield as well. Do we see a game where players like St. Brown and players like Laporta put up bigger numbers than they did against the Rams?
I would expect so. I mean, just because I think this game is going to be very competitive. I mean, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, as you said, two great receivers still. Baker Mayfield, don't underestimate him. I mean, he's very capable. He threw some great balls to Mike Evans last week. Incredible catches, incredible throws. I mean, this game will go back and forth, but I still got the Lions by 10 at least, just like in the championship last year. But yeah, I expect St. Brown to come out of his shell. I mean, I think he'll have a big game. If not, it's Laporta. I think those guys are just fine. I'm not worried about them just because of week one. But yeah, I'll definitely expect numbers from them, no doubt.
Yeah, I think it definitely comes down to that in terms of what kind of St. Brown and Laporta are we going to see. And I think it ultimately comes down to the defense as well. We expected going in, the Lions completely revamped their secondary. You obviously had the injury of Ifeatu Melifonwu going into this game, last week's game. Do we see a different defense? I know you didn't really watch the game, as you said, but do we see, I guess, them playing less zone, where last week they 80% of their defensive plays were zone? Do we see maybe a little bit more man-to-man?
I think so. I mean, I want to believe that the Lions want to play man over zone just because of the players and talent that they do have on that secondary, as you said. Like, they just drafted Arnold, who, I mean, probably one of the best. I mean, I didn't watch the game, like I said. So did he play pretty well last week?
No. He had two DPIs.
Ooh. Ooh.
One that shouldn't have been, because he played it perfectly and they called it because he didn't turn his head. That was the explanation that they gave. He didn't turn his head, so they threw a flag.
I mean, either way, though, I expect him to play well, play hard. I mean, I expect this Lions secondary in general just to play tough. That's just who they are. So I think that they should play more man over zone. I don't know why they wouldn't.
And let me point this out. We did have an injury to Carlton Davis last week. They did say that the injury was he just knocked all the wind out of him. He went for an interception. The ball hit off of his shoulder pads and he landed weird. And let's also point out, this is a revenge game for Carlton Davis, as he was on the Buccaneers last year. I think we see Carlton Davis versus Mike Evans. I'm excited to see that. And then on the other side, Chris Godwin versus Terrion Arnold. I think we see a better game out of the Lions defense. You had, for the Lions defense, you had Alex Anzalone with 14 solo tackles with 8 TFLs last week. We saw a different Anzalone than we have seen in the previous years. I think with DJ Reader coming into the roster going into this week, he was out last week. I think we see a tougher defensive line with Hutchinson, Reader, Davenport, and McNeil. I think overall the defense is going to be a lot better for the Lions. But I think we still need to establish the run. I think we have – I'm going to kind of cheer on the guys. I think we have the best running back duo in the NFL with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But I will say this. We need our third wide receiver in Khalif Raymond to kind of step it up a little bit, because after the game that Jameson Williams had, and then obviously you have big players like St. Brown and Laporta, they are going to be playing a little bit more tightly on those guys. So I do see Khalif Raymond having a little bit better of a game than he did last week, where he was just mainly used in motion.
You know, I think last point on that game, Rashad White, I mean, that dude had a heck of a game week one. He's a heck of a runner, came into the Buccaneers system. He's a great draft pick for them. I mean, the guy turned out to be pretty good so far. So the interesting thing for me is this defensive line, which I think the Lions have a great defensive line. Will they stop the run game and make Baker Mayfield throw? Because that's a key. I think that's a key point for them to win this game, is the more Baker throws, the more risk for error. I mean, any team really, but I think the Lions have that capability just because of their talent. So yeah.
In my opinion, they did stop Kyren Williams last week. Obviously without DJ Reader.
But this isn't Kyren Williams. This is Rashad White, man.
I don't really think it comes down to the defensive line. I think it comes down to the linebackers. That being Anzalone, Campbell, and realistically Rodriguez, in terms of the linebackers. And then I think it comes down to what type of Terrion Arnold do we see? Do we see the Terrion Arnold that had two DPIs last week, or do we see the Terrion Arnold that everyone was like, this guy is probably the best defensive back in the draft coming out of Alabama? Do we see that version, or do we see the two DPIs with him potentially going up against Chris Godwin?
Well, I think we definitely covered that Buccaneers Lions game pretty well. I mean, I think we got all the keys to that game. But the next game that I think is super important is the Bears and the Houston Texans Sunday Night Football. This will be an interesting one, just because as we talked about, the Bears defense able to make those turnovers, and CJ Stroud, the offensive, you know, weapons he has and the numbers he puts up, the passing yards. So will he have a big passing game? This is a very interesting matchup, because this is a real test for the Bears defense, as well as Caleb Williams. So will the Bears be able to offensively put up points?
No.
I mean, I think, yeah, they might get 10, but I mean, or 17 maybe, but I think the Texans win by double digits here, especially in Houston, in my opinion. I just, you know, as a Bears fan, which I'm not, but if you are a Bears fan, the one thing you want to see is Caleb Williams improve. Throw the football, you know, run the football, throw the football, but at least throw for 100+. I mean, that's what you're aiming for if you're a Bears fan here. And this defense, yeah, it'll be a problem for the Texans, but, you know, the one thing for the Texans that I want to see is cleaner defense. I mean, against the Colts, they let up the big plays, the 50-yard bombs, the 70-yard bomb. Just you need to clean that up if you're going to try and be a real contender, which I think they are. But, you know, that defense can't let those plays happen.
Yeah, I think it realistically comes down to, like you said, the Bears offense versus the Texans defense. I think realistically, I know you probably saw me shaking my head yes and no. I don't think Caleb Williams has a better game than he has a better game than he did last week, because that game last week was just horrible.
It was just horrible. Yeah.
If he does not improve, there is something wrong. But I don't think he looks like the type of player that really deserved that number one overall spot in the draft. Does he improve later on in the season? I think so. I just don't think it's going to happen in week two. I think the Texans have enough momentum from the year that they had last year, and then getting a player like Stephon Diggs. I think the Texans come out strong, come out firing, and I think Caleb Williams just comes out flat. I think he needs to kind of step it up, especially when you have a wide receiver room that he has with Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze. He has a lot of weapons on offense.
Yeah.
He just doesn't utilize them properly. He was a lot of times rolling out of the pocket, trying to find something, and then just heaving it when he didn't need to. So I think it's going to take a lot of growing pains for Caleb Williams, but I think it's not going to be as bad of growing pains that we saw with Justin Fields with the Bears. He had a lot of growing pains kind of later on in his career with the Bears. He started kind of picking it up. But I think there is going to be a lot of growing pains. Obviously, every rookie is going to have growing pains here and there.
Yeah.
But I think I don't see a world that Caleb Williams comes out, throws for 200 plus yards, three touchdowns, maybe one interception. I don't see a world where he does that against the Texans. I'm just putting it plain and honest for you guys. I just don't see a world yeah. that he does that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think we both got the Texans here. It'll be a good game regardless, Sunday Night Football. It'll be a good one. I think Week 2 has a lot of games that I wish, I mean, if you guys do want to see us cover every single game and make a longer episode, comment down below, because we kind of just pick and choose some games that, hey, there's some interesting headline there. We don't want to talk about a game like the Steelers and the Broncos, you know, every single week. That's just a snooze fest, regardless of the outcome.
Or Chargers versus Panthers.
Yeah, man, oh man, talk about the poverty franchise.
Or Giants versus Commanders.
Okay. Yeah, don't even get me started. Can have a lot to say there. But yeah, if you guys definitely do want to see a longer episode, we will definitely cover every game if that's what you want. But we're just kind of covering some games that we think are interesting to talk about ourselves. Because Nick and I are both fans of different teams, and we also have different perspectives on different games. But for the most part, we come together and agree on the same games.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this past week was pretty interesting of football. I got to say one thing that I got to make some smarter bets going into Week 2. I absolutely lost some money this past weekend, and I'm not too happy about it.
And he lost in fantasy, guys, and I won. So we'll also update you guys on our fantasy teams. The guy I was versing needed Debo Samuel to put up 40 points, you know, because I'm that good.
Yeah, Nick and I are in the same fantasy. So that week that Nick and I do verse each other, whoever wins is definitely going to get some bragging rights. But yeah.
You guys will know who wins that for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that wraps it up for everything that we wanted to talk about on this episode.
Yeah, and if you guys want us to kind of do watch parties here and there, I know we kind of discussed it, potentially Lions versus Packers. I'm a Lions fan. Mike is a Packers fan. You know.
you know.
And then potentially Super Bowl watch party as well. Just let us know in the comments, or you guys can let us know on Twitter. You guys can tag us on Twitter saying, hey, we want a watch party. And we'll try to work things out for you guys to be able to watch us watch a football game live instead of just talking about it after the fact. So.
And you can get the real reactions because, man, we let some things fly.
Especially if it comes down to Packers versus Lions. You already know Mike and I will be trash talking each other. So.
Oh, man. But hey, you know, I'm not in a classroom today. I actually found the sound booth today. So, you know, I'm in the studio, guys. That's where I'm at right now currently. I'm in a podcast room, little studio area. So it's kind of nice. So last week I was in a classroom because I couldn't find this place. So I'm actually here now.
And potentially very soon you guys will be seeing a new setup for me as well. So, but yeah, thank you guys for tuning into this episode. Starting next week, we will be on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So wherever you guys get your podcasts, you guys can find us. Gridiron Podcast, the best NFL podcast, in my opinion. But,
dang right,
you know, this has been episode 4, our first episode of the 2024 NFL season. It was a great week 1, a lot of storylines, and there's only more to come. So thank you, guys.